So we're doing our study tonight, Monday night study called Having Done All Stan. And as I mentioned, I'd like to try to queue up this video that's on YouTube now. A couple of days ago, it was presented as a Google, what do they call them? Doodle. And it is a 4-minute video just showing, you may have seen it.
Sequence start. Six.
Can everyone see that screen?
Not yet.
Not yet, okay. Pardon me, it's that one. And just take it here. Okay, here we go.
Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Hi, I'm Mike Collins, astronaut on Apollo 11. 50 years ago, I went on an adventure which took Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin to the surface of the moon for the first time in history. While I stayed in orbit 60 miles above them in the command module, which would eventually bring us all home. After a big breakfast, our rocket lifted off in the morning of July 16th, 1969. Neil, Buzz, and I felt the weight of the world on our shoulders. It took around 400,000 people to land humankind on the moon. From engineers to computer programmers to the people who sewed airtight spacesuits. We thought our onboard computer was very sophisticated, but in fact it had less computing power than what we all carry around in our pockets today. NASA worked with three antennas around the Earth, one in Spain, one in Australia, and one in California, so our team in Houston could see us anytime and tell what our trajectory should be, no matter which way the Earth was turned. We were in constant sunlight between the Earth and the Moon. In order to regulate the temperatures on Apollo 11, we had to perform a maneuver which some called the barbecue roll, in which we rotated sideways like a chicken on a spit. The first time we saw the moon up close, it was a magnificent spectacle. It was huge. The sun was coming around it, cascading and making a golden halo and filled our entire window. As impressive as the view was of this alien moon seen up close, it was nothing compared to the sight of the tiny Earth. The Earth was the main show. The Earth was it. After a tense descent in which they almost ran out of fuel, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin landed on the moon on July 20th, 1969.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. I'm going to step off the land now. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Neil and Buzz set up an American flag in a plaque that read, "Here men from the planet Earth first set foot upon the moon, July 1969 AD. We came in peace for all mankind." Behind the moon, I was by myself, all alone, but not lonesome. If you counted, there were 3 billion plus 2 people on one side and me on the other. I felt very comfortable back there. I even had hot coffee. We arrived back on Earth on July 24th, 1969, and landed in the Pacific Ocean. we were invited to take a tour around the world, and I was amazed that everywhere we went, people would say, we did it. We, you and me, the inhabitants of this wonderful earth, we did it. Houston, Mike Collins on Apollo 11, thank you so much for joining me today. Mike Collins out.
All right. Thank you for bearing with me with that. I think it was important to show that because of the... Oh, I think we have another one. We have a TED Talk coming up. Sorry. That'll be enough of that. Anyways, a couple of things just off the bat. He sounds like a very humble man. And I found it interesting when that ship was going up, all the pieces falling off. And that's kind of like the scales falling off of our eyes. So the more those scales fall off, someone mentioned a scale falling off in one of the emails of late. And a beautiful analogy, because they fall off and we're lighter and lighter. We're more heaven bound towards Christ. It's inspiring to look back and see how God moved the hearts of men to accomplish the physical wonder of getting the first man to the moon. And then to learn how that experience brought those who were involved to have deeper questions about their own existence after they journeyed so far from the earth. This short Google video that we just looked at celebrated that event, of course, and sets the stage for our study tonight, having done all stand, which is something that each one of God's children will accomplish through Christ, knowing that God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You also heard them say, many times he said, we, when they went around the world. And that for us, of course, is true for the body of Christ. We are one body. We are working together. And we are being blessed to overcome through Jesus Christ in us. I can gain perspective from the law for the lawless of how weak I am and in need of a Savior. And it is only those who are shown this manner of love to be called the sons of God in this age, who God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, who can escape the pulls of the earth and the pulls of the moon, that are more deeply revealed to us by the law for the lawless, because we are carnal and sold under sin. But I am carnal, sold under sin. We are that weak vessel, that little tin can, really, that went up into space. Through Christ, we can go beyond them both, the earth and the moon, unto mature sons in Christ, who he is maturing in the heavenly realm today, where we are gathered, predestined and sealed in the Lord to do just that. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know we him no more. That's our trajectory. That's where we're going. Our minds are set on the things that are heavenly, and we are asking the Lord to continue to help us realize that hope within us that's cleansing us and blessing us, so that we are quickened with God's Holy Spirit to continue to be raised in the heavenly places together as a body of Christ. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Now, I say that the heir, this is all connected to this idea, if God permit. As long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Those elements can be typified by the pull of the earth's gravity that we can only break free from through Christ. Like we said, it's the Spirit of God that quickens. The Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If he breaks you free from the pulls of the earth. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. We are all under the law, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. At the heart and core of these endeavors to put satellites out in space and to reach the moon, there was an agenda that was premised on war. And it's very easy to lose sight of that in the midst of such exciting events and technology. Even today, with the technology, we forget that there's a lot of evil connected to technology. But we know that God uses good and evil, light and darkness. And at that time, it was called the space race. This race to space was setting the stage for many of our existing technologies that we have today. And as all things are for the elect's sake, as it says in 2 Corinthians 4:15, so these human endeavors that were inspired and caused by our great Creator were predestined to happen exactly when they did, and for his overall purpose for mankind that is being revealed through the body of Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, our heavens, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. That's that knowledge, that manifest knowledge, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is our wisdom, and he is our hope, and he's our strength. Knowledge has increased, and men are going to and fro, but there's still no stay of bread or water in Babylon. And the knowledge and technology that we are grateful for is a two-edged sword in the hand of Adam, who has been caused to shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Speaking in Daniel, but you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. We can learn great spiritual lessons from the moon landing that yielded great advancement in technology if we tie these events back to our relationship with Christ, as we contemplate the fact that we have the mind of Christ that far exceeds in value any physical endeavor we could experience in the flesh. Luke 10:24. I think we're going to see those verses anyways. That mind of Christ gives us the ability to be raised in heavenly places where all earthly and lunar endeavors are transcended, as it gives us peace that passes all understanding, along with the ability to go from glory to glory as the veil of our heavens is ripped and we no longer have to ponder our existence and wonder why are we here on this relatively tiny blue orb called Earth. And you could hear the pondering in the hearts of these astronauts, and many of them, they come back from doing these spectacular feats. It takes the power of God to rip that veil, which in turn is how we are liberated in our Lord. That physical knowledge that increases at the end of this age, spoken of in Daniel, is telling us what will happen spiritually in the body of Christ at the end of each of our lives, and outwardly, how this will become more evident before Christ comes back. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Which is what this is saying. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. That's all of those parts of the ship falling off, getting us further and further and closer to our goal. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, who's working that work. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Putting off the flesh, just like those capsules, is not easy. It takes a lot of energy and power, and it changes the trajectory of your life, which is what trials do. They take us where God wants us to go. He gets us where he wants us to go. He chastens, he scourges us, and then we end up going where we need to go. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. But we all, notice it says, the body of Christ, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. And here's another witness to that idea, that at the end of the age, things will increase. Spiritually, knowledge will increase. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. We talked about this on a study recently. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. The nations within us that are being conquered through Christ. So likewise you, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Verily I say unto you, this generation, the elect, shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Like the astronauts who were being prepared their whole life to be lifted into the heavens, God's elect have this parallel experience, but in the Spirit. And now having this knowledge of Christ, we learn in 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 to 16, how we must continue thou in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. We are learning and being assured as we grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the church, through the body of Christ. That is the vehicle or vessel where we pray he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And this is all possible only because God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. I was laughing when he talked about the day you're going to go to the moon. What are you going to have for breakfast? Well, he said, we had a big breakfast. Yeah, I'd have a big breakfast too, but not too much, but enough that you're going to be strengthened. And you can imagine how your nerves would be knowing that you're going to be thrust out into the middle of the unknown. Well, we are being fed spiritually that way by the body of Christ, because we are on a trajectory that the world can't even see, that it's so large and so glorious. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. But continue thou in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. And from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But God has revealed them unto us by a Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. It's all a gift, it's all free, and it's all from God. And it's given to very few in this age. With these verses in mind, let's consider what the moon represents to us, as well as the earth and the sun, so we can draw some spiritual conclusions as to what our sojourning in this life is all about within the body of Christ, and how it is that we must do all and stand. Above all, as we sojourn in this world, we take the shield of faith, believing and being convinced at that day that God will be faithful to finish what he has started in us. And no one can take us out of his hand. We also must be armed with the mind of Christ, knowing that our journey in him has been promised to be fraught with much tribulation and persecution, and that these things are happening unto those sons and daughters who are being received and prepared to be kings and priests, so that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. In other words, we're going through this so that we can be those saviors, kings and priests. It says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Those are just the events that God uses in our life to peel away all of those parts of our life that need to be just like the spaceship, so that it's lighter and lighter and more easily directed to where it has to go. That one small step that has already been taken on the moon by the astronauts can be likened unto the earnest relationship that we have with Christ today. We are only seeing the Son of Righteousness in part, as his kind of first fruits who are the first to trust in the living God and commit our ways unto him, as unto a faithful Creator who has raised us up together in this earnest relationship, so that we are inspired by the heavenly perspective that we have been given through Christ, a perspective that far exceeds the physical beauty and perspective that we heard those brave astronauts describe. We look to him now as the author and the finisher of our faith, as we press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in him, keeping our eyes on him, knowing he is faithful and will be found of those who diligently seek him and strive for that mark. It is a lofty goal to obtain, to say that you have reached the physical moon, but that is still a physical race to space. It is only a shadow of the high calling or spiritual race that God has called each of us to as the body of Christ. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. In other words, understand why that's happening to Christ and why we are as he is, because God knows those things are needful to give us direction and guidance in this life, to bring us to our safe haven. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, or in the aorist tense, are being perfected, be thus minded, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this, even this unto you. In other words, God's telling us to stay in the light, keep our eyes on Christ, and then that cleansing process will continue to happen. We'll be sanctified. We'll fall seven times, but we'll be sanctified through the process. These following verses show us more of the right perspective in regard to how the Lord would have us run that you may obtain. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before. I think I just read that. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Must be important. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. I did just read that. So here's the perspective of Paul, and truly the perspective of every Christian who has Christ abiding within them. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law, to them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law, looking for that occasion against their flesh, if God will allow it. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives a prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. So that's that patience, possessing your souls patiently. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, certainly. So fight I, not as one that beats the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know, we don't do that. Christ is working that in us, both to will and to do. He's the one who brings our bodies into subjection. But then we have to understand that if we are Jesus Christ, we should be armed with the mind of Christ and not be discouraged. If you see your body going through physical struggles and trials, if you're being woken up at night, if you have any type of ailment or any kind of mental stress, praise God. And realize this is what God's doing. He's bringing your body into subjection. He's blessing you so that your trajectory, your life is being more and more guided and directed toward that end goal. The lack of technology that the Apollo 11 mission had by today's standards did not prevent them from accomplishing the incredible feat of reaching the moon, finding themselves standing where no man had ever stood before. God's elect are in this blessed position today to be founded upon a rock, Jesus Christ, so that we can one day explain to all of the world of this blessed and incredible journey that we pioneered together by the grace and faith of Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many astronauts, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised has God chosen, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. We have the highest of all callings in the Lord, and are called to go boldly where no man has gone before. Being raised in heavenly places, where that after that we have suffered a while, we can be established and settled in the Lord for the sake of those who will follow the footsteps of Christ in us after we endure unto the end. Hebrews 4:16, this is where we're going. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. What was shut up from Daniel that he could not see is described in these verses that God has given the elect to be able to read, hear, and keep. Matthew 24, verses 13 and 15. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. We are those witnesses with Christ in us. And then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, only spoken of, not understood, he didn't read, hear, and keep those sayings, stand in the holy place. Whoso reads, let him understand. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The end of this study, to end this study off this evening, I want to just look at these following scriptures that tell us a little more about the moon and what God wants us to learn from this dead satellite that does not give off its own light and cannot be considered a planet because it does not orbit the sun. The moon described in the following verses of Genesis are a prophecy of the time when all the creation will one day be subject unto Christ, who is typified by Joseph, who is a type of the elect as well. And I gleaned this from an email that Mike had going back and forth with Ruth Ann. And he dreamed yet another dream, and he told his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? Revelation 21, verses 1 to 4. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This is who he typified. This is who Joseph, this is who we typified in this verse, in these verses. This is who we are, rather, in Jesus Christ. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Joseph's brothers did not understand, nor did his parents or his mother, what he was experiencing, but neither did he, because of course it was all type and shadow. And his brethren envied him, so were hated by all men for his name's sake, and there is an envy there in the world. But his father observed the saying, Luke 2 verses 10 to 12, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Luke 2:12. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart, just like Jacob did here in this story. Pondered them, said. The moon or mother or church, typified by Mary, who keeps all these things and ponders them in her heart, is blessed. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. Much tribulation. The boon in us is now subject to Christ, and because we are clothed with the Son, not our own righteousness, nor our own bread and clothing, and not just the name of Christ, like it says in Isaiah 4:1, we can truly identify with these scriptures that are talking about the body of Christ. There are two distinct groups being talked about. One moon that is a positive and clothed with the Son of Righteousness on that day, which it says, we read earlier in John 14:20, on that day, at that day, you shall know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. And the other seven women in that day that lay hold of one man, the man of perdition, that holds on to the idea of free moral agency and all the false doctrines that accompany Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, notice, and keep the world within us being found with our own righteousness, unless and until the Lord burns that out of us. As always, there is a process of coming out of the earth, or the old moon that had its own glory and was to be far surpassed by the glory that would come through Jesus Christ and was typified by Moses when he had to cover his face with a veil. That veil is also represented by the veil in the temple that must be rent in two from the top to the bottom, representing our going from glory to glory. As we go forward in Christ, our hope of glory, we see through a glass darkly. And the veil of Moses typifies how we see through a glass darkly, or in part, with our hope of glory within, that is hidden from the world. And yet we believe, because the Spirit searches the deep things of God, that one day the resurrection will occur, and that glory will no longer be hidden, and we will see Christ face to face. All of the types and shadows of these heavenly bodies in discussion will be done away with when God is all in all. And this verse in Isaiah and Revelation is fulfilled outwardly for all of his creation that is groaning together today. There are different glories and an order to how each man will come to know God and the Father and Jesus Christ. Isaiah 6:2, above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. And with twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. These are types and shadows of us to remind us that we're hidden in Christ, as these verses declare. And this was also foreshadowed when Moses came down from the mount with a covering on his face that shone. The covering of our face at this stage, when we're those cherubims, is a reminder of the blindness that was always ours, except for the grace and faith of Christ, the seraphim. Thank you. Isaiah 60, verses 19 to 21. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall the moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light. Twice it says that. And the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. What a prophecy of what God says he's going to do through the body of Christ. And that mourning is necessary, he says, and the days of mourning shall be ended. So there is going to come an end to all of that affliction, persecution, tribulation that helps us put off the flesh, that Christ knows is an integral part of our walk. It's the judgment of our old man. The barbecue roll, Gail calls it. Revelation 21:23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. In order to have done all and stand, we must clearly see the need to put off our flesh, which is the veil that must be ripped if we're going to inherit eternal life that flesh and blood cannot inherit. These last few verses of our study are connected to the veil and remind us that there is a process and precious judgment that is upon the body of Christ today, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed, giving us the ability to stand and preparing our hearts so that one day we can be those saviors that come up on Mount Zion to help others to one day, having done all, stand. The Song of Solomon's verses 5-8. I opened to my beloved, and I love this verse, these verses. Romans 11:28. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchman, which is God's elect, see thou, so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel, therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. The watchman that went about the city found me. They smote me, they wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. The veil, or the law, can only be taken away with a deadly wound, which is what we're being told there. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, the body of Christ, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. And we will. That coin will be sought out, and it will happen in the lake of fire. And if they are of us, they'll be grafted back in this age. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Because God may be getting ready to graft that person in, and we want to be always ready to do what God would have us do. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Wherefore I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So you notice how Paul, that's a very interesting verse, 29. He says, I labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. That's the right perspective. That's being confident but not complacent. He knows who's doing the work, and he expects that he's going to have to work because he's a son of God. My Father works and I work and we work. It is within the veil that we pray the Lord keeps us all under his wing and in his presence. And if we are predestined to be there, nothing shall separate us from our Father, as these verses tell us. And so many of the studies that we've been blessed to have in the last half year are just incredibly driving home that point. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that, and which entereth into that within the veil, on the other side, within it. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, what is his life? His life, the veil. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So if Christ is in us, that's the object, is to rip that veil. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, in that veil, for his body's sake, which is the church. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. And I put here, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. We can stand in Christ alone, who is working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now the just who live by faith and not by sight, and so we are encouraged to fight a good fight of faith, knowing that we can and will be saved by grace through faith. Boasting is excluded by the law of faith that God gives to his little flock, and it is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom and to reassure us in our hearts that having done all stand is speaking of what God will do through the body of Christ for all of us today. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And that's our study.